that you might speak to our hearts. And Lord, you know our voice is a little bit rough, but Lord, you are in control of all things. And we thank you and praise you. And Lord, we just ask for the leadership of the Holy Spirit for both the speaker, the hearer, Lord, for those that are here, those that are not. Lord, that you would just lead us and guide us in all things. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we think of these songs of how blessed we are and how it's by your Spirit, Lord, that the world was formed. And Lord, that all things are done. And Lord, how that truly just it gets sweeter every day. Lord, because that revelation continues to grow within our hearts. And Father, may you let it grow tonight. Give us something, Lord, for the people. And Lord, that you would just draw us day by day, Lord. You would give the anointing, Lord, upon the word to quicken it to our hearts. As we thank you and praise you now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you can be seated. And now, I added a scripture in here, which was actually for a title. I tell you, I don't really want to admit to this, but at 6 o'clock, I was, like I said, I lay down and took a nap around 5:30, and I don't normally do that. By then, I'm really nervous about finishing up and getting it together. And so I took a shower and come back, and I started working. And somehow or another, at 6 o'clock, I thought it was 7 o'clock. And I knew that you had told me that Goomba was working over, and I knew Michael was working over. But I was expecting the rest to come. And so 6 o'clock, I walk here, and I just stand right there, and I'm like, where's everybody at? And so just a few minutes prior to that, I had sent my quotes out because I thought it was 7 o'clock. And so I was still, I don't know, I won't say delirious, but I was just fighting the fever and struggling. And so for about 10 minutes, that's what I thought. And so I had rushed to send the quotes out, trust to be ready and everything. And so I didn't have it just like I want. So the subject title is not there. And what it is, it's God's eternal purpose. And I pulled a scripture for that, and I posted it here. But I added some scripture at the end of the message for the ones who go back and read. There's a lot of scripture there you can read. But I want to read some scripture tonight that I didn't get to on Sunday. And I wish we could have, because all of the quotes we had read would have been good to have that fresh on your mind. But God's takes care of all that stuff anyway. So, and there's nothing new. It's just, all this is things that you've heard. But I've enjoyed so much taking time in the scripture since I've been ministering and seeing how many things Paul talked about and how many things Paul pointed to, and how much in his day he was going through some of the same things that our prophet went through in this day. He was breaking into a new age, into a new message, into a totally new thing, and he was trying to close that out. He was trying to tell him it was over and that it was done, and that and it was so serious that they were killing people. And even Paul himself had that approach. They were killing people because this was so serious to them, that the word of God that God had established for thousands of years, and now it's being changed. Now there's something different, and there's preachers here telling them that this is done away and this is done away, and it's no good anymore. Now we have a new and living way. We have a new covenant. And so it just was devastating to them. And so what they were doing in the physical, then that thing came along and began to happen in this day too, in the spiritual. They begin to fight the message. They begin to fight the prophet. They begin to talk to his good to his face, and then behind his back they run him down. And when they did that, it wasn't that man that was the thing that was going to come back on them. It was the fact that what he was speaking was the word of God. And that's what was going to come back on them. And that's the thing that is coming back on them. Some of them have already entered into that. They've already been rewarded. They've already crossed over. They've already faced and realized their mistakes when they rejected the word of God. They're realizing that when they turned down that voice, that they were turning down the voice of God. And so it's a great thing. So I want to pick up, I'm going to reread one place here in the token message. And then we're going to read some in Ephesians. And so I'm not going to keep you long tonight, but I don't want to send you home too early either. We get used to that easy. And so I can remember a couple years ago in Kenya, I seen things slowing down a little bit. And I told them that I said, whatever you do, don't stop having Kesha. Don't stop your all-night prayer. Don't stop those things. It makes you go that extra mile. It makes you spend that much more time, and it keeps them on fire. And the thing is, and I've said this many times, but the things that you see there that we admire, it was here. It was here. It was right here. Every bit of that was here. Brother Branham, in during Pentecost, Brother Branham talked about, he said, people had a literal trail, a path, where the grass was wore out, where they went every morning and they prayed. That from their house out into the forest or out into the shambar, wherever they went. And that's the same there in Kenya. It's the same. And I just told him, I said, don't let go of this. Don't let go of this. Because this is so great, and this is such a great time that you have with God. And you watch them, people go, they'll go in, they'll travel maybe a couple hours to get somewhere, wherever the meeting's going to be that night, Friday night, and they'll come in, and they'll have a cup of tea, and then the service will start maybe by 10 o'clock or something like that, and the preacher may have one service or two services. There might be a 2 hours or 3 or 4 hours. And then they'll begin to pray. And they'll pray to early morning. And maybe if they get done early, it'll be around between 3 and 4. If they go all the way through, it'll be 5 or 6 in the morning. And when they finish, there's a meal ready for them. And they'll eat, have a little bit of fellowship, and they're back walking towards the transportation, the mat. They had to walk in, and have to walk out, and then they have to wait on the mat. And some of them are going to work, and they're going to go to work, and they're going to work all day without one wink of sleep. They're going to go work all day. And I appreciate it. And we know that God is there. And we were talking just the other day about how that these things, how the Satan is ruling every country. I had a clip come up today on the president of Kenya. It was just a news flash, and it came up, and they were questioning him on being accepting to the gays and all of this. And he spoke with a lot of wisdom, and he didn't lash out at him. He didn't get in an argument with him. He just said, we have our customs, we have our culture, we have our traditions, we have our ways. And he said, you have your ways. And he said, we'll respect your ways to do whatever you want to do. And he said, but we're expecting you to respect our ways. So he was telling them, even though the courts, and that's the thing. No matter how hard, no matter how many good men you put in there, Satan's going to corrupt them. So, Satan will. It's the courts. Same thing here. It's the courts. It's the courts that are going around those few that are standing for righteousness, those few that are standing for what's right. And they're, you know, and we have it here. We have some that are trying to stand, but it's too late. It's too late. It's going to go down. It's admirable. You appreciate it. You thank God there's somebody there trying, but you know that it was rejected already. It's already been rejected. It's traveled from the east to the west. It hit the west coast. It's come all the way. And now we have all of it. It's all here. And now the only thing can be done now is that little group that has that eternal life and that seed of life in there. Now they're feeding on it. They're feeding on it, and he's revealing himself and he's making himself known, and he's bringing them into the realization of their calling, of what he put them here for. And, you know, I think that is much deeper now than what it was maybe when we were young or when we were in Pentecost or in denominationalism, because at that time, we just felt like God called you to be a Christian, okay? And so you're a Christian and you try to live a good life, you try to do the right thing, you try to do this, you try to do that, but it's so much greater now. The realization of it is God has revealed the whole plan. He's revealed the whole plan, not just that I want people to be a Christian. No, that's not it. What he had in his mind before the foundation of the world, that he had a body that he was building, and that he was going to come to that body. He was going to join himself to that. He was going to cap it. The intelligence was going to cap that body, and that body was going to rise up and begin to move. And it, when it moved, it was going to bring forth the word. And that's the only thing it can bring forth. It can only bring forth the word. And that's when you read the New Testament, when you read what Paul wrote, you're reading a man that had a revelation of what God wanted done in that day. Not just, he don't want me to do the blood of bulls and goats anymore now. He wants me to be a Christian. I'm going to go sit in the church and I'm going to be a good person. And no, not that at all. Paul, you read Paul's words constantly talking about the mystery. The mystery, the mystery hidden from the foundation of the world. God has made us ministers of this mystery of Christ that had never been revealed before. And now he's making it known to us that we could be partakers of this, that he could now dwell in the believer today. And it was building right there. It's where it begun, where the blood covenant, when the blood covenant came forth, that's where it came forth. That's when it began, right there. And it was building and building and building. And the blood paid the price. That'll never go away. That'll never be done. He paid the price. But that covenant now has come to a higher order. And that order today is eternal life. It's not just accepting the blood. It's not just saying, I believe. It's not joining the church and getting baptized. It's not doing any of those things that they have thought and still think that are going to bring you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not going to do it. The only thing that's going to do it now is the power of revelation coming upon the believer, that they enter into oneness with Jesus Christ, and he's the Word. And so when that takes place, then you and God are one. And you and the Word are one. And you are as eternal as God is. Because there's only one eternal. All right, we're going to begin here. In the token message, paragraph 152. And so you forgive me for all of this hacking and everything. But no matter what this flesh does, we don't care. What we thank God for is this revelation. God's everlasting, comma. Now he's going to correct that word. He's going to correct that word everlasting, because he was just talking about, and he's going to talk about some more, the everlasting covenant of the blood covenant being everlasting. But here, he's talking about the token. God's everlasting, eternal token. It's eternal life by the eternal God, and anything that had a beginning has an end. And everything had a beginning besides God. See? And God is the only form of eternal life that there is. And when God places His Holy Spirit in you, which is God, that means when He comes in you, and when God places Himself within you, you're as eternal as God is. Now, you can't make that say, I mean, I guess the theologians can, I guess the devil can, I guess all of them that want to can. But to a believer, you can't make this say nothing different than what it's saying. You are as eternal as God because it is God. That's all. It is God. That was the plan. God's eternal purpose before the foundation of the world, what He was going to bring to a climax in this day, in this hour. That's what He had in His mind. That's what He was looking for. That's what He was planning on. And it was a great time coming all the way through. And all the shadows and all the types and all of those of Moses and Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and those 12 patriarchs. And they still, you know, as soon as their daddy died, they sent somebody to talk to Joseph. Because they thought, now daddy's dead, he's going to kill us. He's going to kill us. And they were scared to death. They were worried. It never changed for Joseph. When he told them, when he was in the prison, he knew. When he was a kid, God had revealed to him that He was going to nourish them and take care of them and provide for them. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he knew it was going to happen. And so when he got down there and he seen what God was doing, and he didn't understand it, but you don't find anywhere where he was complaining. He didn't complain at Potiphar's house. He didn't complain when he was in the jail. You don't find any words where he was complaining. He just told the guy, he said, when you go back, remember me. Just remember me. No doubt he wanted to get out of there. And I think it was like 2 more years. You don't have any record of any complaints, anything. And when his brothers, he knew they were going to come. He knew they would have to come because God had revealed to him that all nations, this famine was all nations. They were all going to go hungry. So it was in his heart. One day he was going to see them coming. One day. It don't matter what your brother does. It don't matter what your sister does to you. There's still something there that's your brother and that's your sister. And there's still a love there that you have for him. And when he seen him coming, first thing he wanted to know was those that weren't there, were they still alive? Is my father alive? Do you have any brothers? Are they alive? They couldn't understand those questions. They couldn't understand why he would ask such a thing as that. What would make this man ask about our father and about our younger brother? What would make him ask these things? And when he revealed himself to him, he said, God did this. That's the revelation. That's the difference in that condemnation that they had and the revelation that he had. He told them, God did this to save your life. This is what I tried to tell you when I was a kid. I didn't know. I didn't understand it. I just told you what the dream was. And it upset you. And God used that upsetness to cause you to want to get rid of me. And when you got rid of me, you sent me to the right hand of Pharaoh. That's where you sent me. And you put me right where God wanted me to be. And if we could live every day like that, just every day, just like that. You get in a wreck on the way to work, or you You lose something or everything goes wrong, and there's just something that says, praise God, what are you doing, Lord? What's your plan? What are you doing with me today? That's a revelation. That's a life of revelation. It's because the eternal one is living in you now. We should be able to do it better than anybody else that's ever done it. But they all did it by revelation. So when Abel, whatever it was, maybe somebody said something, mom and dad, he might have heard him over talking something, and it sparked something and God revealed it. Maybe not. Maybe he had a vision. Maybe he had a dream. Whatever it was a revelation. And he knew exactly what God wanted. And that's what he came forth with. Just as simple as could be, that's what he came forth with. And when the intellectual mind come behind him, and the intellectual mind was told, if you'll do what your brother has done, you'll be accepted. It just, when you think about that, always the natural mind, the intellect says, how could he not have done it? And then when you get done thinking that, the spiritual mind says, there was no seed there. So that free moral agency, that people, when people get free moral agency and think that they are the master of their destiny, then Cain could have been the master of his destiny right there. Intellectually, all he had to do was just do it. God's telling him, if you'll do it, you will be accepted. Why couldn't he do it? That it couldn't have been any easier for the carnal mind. The carnal mind had everything it needed right there. It wasn't in a mystery. It wasn't a hard thing to understand. It wasn't a big hidden deep thing. He was told plainly, just do what your brother has done. And he couldn't. Because it's based on one thing. It's based on predestination. It's based on the fact that God put something in there that he was going to quicken, that he was going to resurrect, that he was going to make alive and live in you. God based it on grace. It comes by revelation. And revelation comes by grace. And the Bible says it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's a gift of God. I'm not fighting free moral agency. I'm not fighting none of that foreknowledge. I'm not fighting none of that. But what I'm saying is, when you lean all of that over like you're the one making the decision, I'm just sorry, I don't agree with that. I don't believe it was because I made the right decision. I believe there was something that was pushing me. There was something that was driving me. There was something like a magnet that was drawing me, that was separating me from where I was and the friends that I had. And just like everything else, it can be an argument, it can be a disagreement, it could be whatever it was. And that's what it was. I was living with a friend. He had a mobile home, and I had rented a room, and so everything was great. We'd been friends for years, and one day we got in an argument, and that argument was so severe that he told me to get out. And he said, "I want you out within 2 weeks." I said, "2 weeks?" I said, "It's going to take me 2 minutes. I'm going to throw my stuff in my truck, and I'm gone. I don't need 2 weeks." And that day, at that moment, I was gone. And there was only one place in the whole town that you could rent an apartment on the spot. You didn't have to go through all the application and do all that. If you had a down payment, you could do it right now. And I did it. And I just so happened to move in next door to a man that had just learned about the message. And he had to a widow woman who were struggling and a juvenile delinquent who he was trying to help. He just went through a bad divorce. His father-in-law tried to destroy him. His father-in-law just hated him with everything. But him and his wife, they couldn't make it work, and so they separated. And so God put him there before he put me there. And so somebody witnessed to him and got him looking at the message. And so it came, it was right there at the right time. That's what God does. Why couldn't have Joseph stayed at Potiphar's house? Because those two, that baker and that butcher or whatever he was, I don't remember what the other one was. Butler. The butler and the baker, they were going to come, they were going to be in prison. So he had to get him out of the comfort of Potiphar's, and he had to get him in the prison because that's where they were coming. And so that was going to make him uncomfortable, but he wasn't concerned about that. God wasn't concerned about that. God's not always concerned about our discomfort. Sometimes we whine and cry and moan about every little convenience, inconvenience. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I remember, Brother Goomba, I went, you know, my truck. I remember when I had a small truck like you had, and you could reach over there and roll the window down from the driver's seat. And then when I got the bigger trucks, you couldn't do that. You have to get out and walk around the truck to roll all the windows up or down. And so I had electric windows on a couple of trucks. I've had several trucks over the years. And then one day I bought one. I found a really good deal on a crew cab diesel from a guy in Charlotte, but it was all manual, everything. And so unless you run the air conditioner, you had to get out, walk around the truck, roll every window down. And then when you got to the store, wherever you need to lock it, you had to get out, roll every window up. And it began to aggravate me. And I thought, I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to have electric so that I can just do from the driver's seat. If I'm going down the road, I want some more air, I let it down. And so God don't care about that stuff. God's not concerned about that stuff. And the closer we get to him, the less we'll care about that stuff. The less we'll be concerned about it. The less we'll worry about it. Yeah, I'm not saying anything about comfort. If you can have it, that's great. That's fine. But that's not our goal in life. That's not our goal in life, to have all the comfort that we can have. Sometimes that makes us lazy. Sometimes that makes us less thankful. Sometimes that makes us less appreciative and recognize and fail to recognize what God's doing. It's true. It's proven. It's proven that a hard life builds character. It builds character in people. I told you, that's one of the things. When I first went to Kenya, and I'd see somebody, and I'd want to bless them with something, you know, just maybe something small. I want to give them something. And because you as you learn about their life, you find out they've never had nothing. They haven't had nothing. They're poor. They haven't had nothing. And so you might give them something as small as a candy bar. And you think, I just want them to enjoy this. Do you know that they couldn't enjoy it by themselves? They couldn't enjoy that. Say, you know, if we get a candy bar, we're going to maybe go down to our room and hide and eat our candy bar. And you just enjoy it. You know, this is my candy bar. I'm going to eat it. They couldn't do it. I watched it over and over and over. They were going to share it with those that were around them. It just was something that was in them. It was part of that life. It was part of that character. It's something that they were taught when they were coming up through those struggles, that you help one another. And if one person gets something, you come and you share it with one another. You know, that spirit got on them right after Pentecost too. And they started helping all the poor. They started helping people. Some man told Brother Branham, said, that was the biggest mistake they ever made. Brother Branham said, no, not for that age. He said, in that age, God, this new gospel had to be spread. And he said, so he said, by them people selling out and giving everything away, then they didn't have nothing to go home to. So they just begin to wander. And they just begin to move about and travel about and said, and they depended on God. And said, so they begin to travel around and place to place and witnessing about the message and about this new covenant, the blood covenant. And they were just constantly spreading the gospel and spreading the gospel. And they were seeing the hand of God supply their needs, feeding them and clothing them and take care of them and whatever they needed. God was doing it. Praise be to God. And when God places his Holy Spirit in you, which is God, and when God places himself within you, you're as eternal as God is, because you're a part of him, because you become a son or daughter of God, and you are displaying his word. Hallelujah. I feel religious. That's true. God identifies it himself. And this is a thing that Brother Branham says many times over in many different ways, that it is God that's doing it, that it's God in you vindicating, it's God accepting you, it's God revealing himself to you. And I can remember even as a young Christian, that was one thing that really threw me off. This preacher was preaching one time, and he was talking to the people, and as he was, and he was saying what he was saying, he actually was talking to Sister Rhonda's mom from the pulpit. And he said, he was talking about the people accepting Christ and accepting Jesus and coming to God. And he said, he looked at her mother, Madge, and he said, Madge, did you accept him? And she said, yes. And he said, no. He accepted you. You didn't accept him. He accepted you. And I can remember that just really throwed me for a loop. But he took it right out of the message. Brother Branham said it wasn't what you did. It wasn't anything that you could do. It wasn't because you accepted him. You do accept him with your words and your mind and your heart and everything. But the reason you're doing it is because he accepted you. Because he invited you. And that's what the point he was trying to bring across to all of us. You are displaying his word. See, that's true. God identifies it himself. You've got eternal life. And that's God in you. And this word is God. And that word lives and produces itself. Just exactly what God has ordained for this age. What does it produce? It produces what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world, what he wanted to manifest in this last age. And he's got a group of people on the earth, and they're going to manifest it. And actually, all the people on the earth are going to manifest what God had in his mind. The only difference is some of them are like Pharaoh. Didn't matter what Pharaoh thought. Didn't matter about his... I'm going to try to stop saying free moral agency, but Pharaoh's free moral agency was, I'm going to let him go. And God said, no, you're not going to let him go. You're not going to let him go. Because I raised you up for this purpose. And you, I'm going to harden your heart. And you right now are humbled. And right now you see these supernatural things happening. And you see, if you don't stop, you're going to be destroyed. And your whole nation's going to be destroyed. And said, and that's what I'm going to do. But right now, you're ready to let them go. So I'm going to harden your heart so you won't let them go so I can finish my work. Because my work is, I'm going to destroy this nation. I'm going to destroy everything about this nation. And he prophesied to Moses when Moses was down there in Midian. And he told Midian, he said, you people are going to go out with great wealth. He said, when you go out, he said, you're going to borrow from everybody. And they're going to give you the best clothes they have. They're going to give you the jewels. They're going to give you their cattle. They're going to give you everything. And you're going to go out with great wealth. God told them all this. told Moses that. He was preparing Moses. And then every time Moses seen one of those little things happen, prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. He's seen the hand of God being fulfilled. And he's like, even though he cried, even though he was scared, even though he didn't know what to do, he just couldn't help it when he looked at those prophecies being fulfilled. And he said, Lord, you told me that. You told me this was going to happen. You told me this was going to happen. You told me this was going to happen. Just exactly what God has ordained for this age, you have it. Amen. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit being displayed. Yes, sir? What is it? The Holy Spirit, the Word, has been quickened to you, see, by the Holy Spirit, to vindicate this age, that you have passed from death unto life. That's right. See, now this is in, we're still in the token. And this is where, where he is talking about the scripture that we're fixing to read. And we read this on Sunday. We're going to read it again because it leads into the scripture. If we could read here Ephesians 2:12, it would be startling to us. I love it when he says that because that makes you, it makes the believer just want to go read it. It makes the believer want to go read it so bad. And it's not just that one verse, but it's the whole thing. And I would recommend you would be blessed to read the whole chapter. Of the whole book of Ephesians. See, it would be startling to us. Notice, serve the living God with living signs and living ordinances. See, Hebrews 9:11-14. Go read that one. It's good too. We read that on Sunday. See, tells us the same. See, we don't serve dead oracles or articles. Oracles is what he said. We don't serve that. We serve the living God, see, with living signs. This is where we want to be. We want to be right there in Him with the living Word, the living Spirit guiding us, revealing itself to us. And we want the living signs of God showing and proving His presence. And when it proves His presence, it's not going to be some nonsense like they did somewhere. It's going to be the Word of this day being manifested in your life. It's going to be Christ Himself, what He wants to manifest in you. What He wants. What He had in His mind. Not, I go to church, I joined, I know the creed, I know the catechism. That's dead forms. But the true token of the blood, speaking out, speaks of a living, resurrected presence. I like that so much. It speaks of a living, resurrected presence. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right. Living right now among us. Amen. It speaks better. But not dead forms and creeds, but a living token of a living, resurrected Christ that lives in us. See, no, they don't deny there's such a thing. But we know, they deny there is such a thing. But we know it's true. We who believe the Word know that God promised it, and He keeps His promise. Know it is His living presence, for He does it as He did. It is His living presence. Praise be to God. So now I wanted to read the second chapter. And so when I started, I read through the second chapter. And then I backed up a little bit in the first chapter. And so and then I also went over into the third chapter. But like I said, the letters to the Ephesians were really outstanding. And to the Romans and to, of course, the whole Bible is outstanding, but there's great things here that Paul is saying. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, Paul is praying, asking,
that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Now, this calling that He's talking about is, like I said a while ago, it's not just talking about, to me, this means so much more to us. And because it's so much deeper. It's not just saying, okay, one day I become a Christian and now I go to church now and now I'm trying to do the right thing and do this and I do that and I try to be good to people and I'm trying not to cuss and I'm trying to pay my tithes and I'm trying to do this and do that and do this and do that. It's not it. That's not it. What it is, this calling that He's talking about is much greater than that. This calling is recognizing what God has done since the foundation of the world. God has brought it. He was revealing it back there. He revealed to Abel what happened. And He revealed to Abel what the antidote was. And that's all he needed. For that age, that's all he needed. And that began to build and build. And when he got to Moses, and they had so many ordinances and so many sacrifices and so many different things. And they were just building and building and building. And it was all great. And they were building this great nation. And they were doing wonderful things. But they were failing and failing and failing. And they were being judged. And they were being punished. And they were being rewarded. And they were being delivered. And they were many great deliverances was taking place, and it was building up until it came to Christ, the fullness of the whole thing. And when it got there, then that fullness was the very manifestation of God Himself. And although there was a little group that was catching a glimpse of it, the fullness of the revelation of it had not been made known. It wasn't totally clear. And that's exactly how Paul described it. It wasn't totally clear. It was as looking through a glass, darkly. And so they seen great things. They seen great revelation. They seen mysteries hidden from the foundation of the world. They seen things that they never thought about in Moses' day and in Noah's day. And in those ages back there, they seen things that they never dreamed imaginable. And here was a man, Paul, that had been into the third heaven. And he come back and said, I can't even tell you what I saw over there. No, but in this day, this group of people, this revelation, this ministry of Jesus Christ in this day, it is now completely taken the veil off of God. Not in part like it was back there, completely unveiled before the people that they see God. And that same God is living in them. The literal life. Those words that prophet said in the token message, those are powerful words. And they meant. He meant exactly what he was saying. The literal life of Jesus Christ living in the believer today. Not the anointing on their flesh or on their spirit or on anything else. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, I didn't get to take my notes out of there, and I tried to do that. And that's one reason why I'm at the last minute trying to send the quotes off, because I'm trying to separate all the notes that I made for myself and delete them out and then... verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Think about that. Using that same terminology for Him that He uses for us. Far above all principalities and all power and all might and all dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He has given him all things. That's why he's, Brother Random brought in the Christ, the mystery of God, that his purpose is to have the preeminence in the bride, the complete, supreme preeminence in all, a complete surrender. And it's not just a surrender, it's a complete taking over. He just takes over. He is the one doing it. Paul said, I do what I would not, and don't do what I would. He was a prisoner. He was a prisoner. Somebody had control of him. And that made me think of the scripture there. All that was in God, he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into the church. Now, Ephesians, the second chapter. And notice now what he said. All. And Brother Branham labored on that. Brother Branham talked about it. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were just like them. We were just like them. We had the same nature that they have. The only difference was they didn't have another nature down in there. They didn't have another nature, but we did. There was a seed down in there that God was going to quicken, and this nature that we were born with was going to be done away with. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Remember that word means resurrection, means made alive, quickened. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, and I always like it when they're pointing to this day, you're going to give us another little nugget, another glimpse. And just a reminder that they didn't have it all. That it was coming. That they couldn't be made perfect without us. They needed this ministry. They needed this revelation. They needed this part of the manifestation to bring it to perfection. And in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. I was thinking that was in Romans, but that's right there in Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through revelation, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Listen how he describes this. And you think about it, you can relate it to this day. And you know, people have their names that they call us or whatever you identify people with. And there was some of that was wrong. I remember one time Brother Ram said some of the people were calling the people that went to Brother Jackson's Dirty Birds because they let the gifts in the open congregation and the different things they did. So they felt like anyone that didn't do it exactly the way Brother Branham did it which that's how I want to do it. I want to do it exactly how he did it. But so they started calling them names. So to me, that put them right there. To me, when they started calling them dirty birds, that made them a dirty bird right there because they had the wrong attitude right then. Yeah. As soon as they started slinging their insult, they had the wrong attitude. And one time they was questioning Brother Branham on it. And Brother Branham didn't argue it. He didn't fight it. He said, that's Brother Junior's problems. That's what happens. You put it in the, you put it out in the open and you get all of that. And you get people prophesying this and that. And it's not being judged. And it's just going out there. He said, that's the pastor's problem. And the pastor is allowing it. So you don't need to fight that. That's his problem. He's invited it. He's allowed it. Just leave him alone. If he gets wise, if God shows him, he'll fix it. And if he don't, name calling is not going to do it. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called, they had a name for us. They had a name for them in that day. Who were called uncircumcision by them, which was called the circumcision. In the flesh, made by hands. So those circumcised Jews, when they seen somebody, they just, there's uncircumcised. They're uncircumcised. That's what they was called. And they had names for one another. Verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Because Israel was the only holy nation. It was the only holy people. It was the only holy place. It was God's chosen place. It's where God was revealing himself. And so they had to come there. They had to believe what they believed. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. They weren't a part of that covenant of circumcision. They weren't a part of the covenants of Moses and the covenants of this sacrifice and that sacrifice, the different things that were a part of the Jewish life. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's telling them that now, what was back there, you weren't a part of it. They wrote you off. They called you uncircumcised. They didn't consider you. None of that. But now there's a new covenant. And this new covenant is inviting you, uncircumcised people, in. It's inviting you other nations in. It's allowing you now to come and be partakers. For he is our peace who hath made both one. Both who? Jew and Gentile. Circumcised, uncircumcised. Now he's made both one. Now they didn't all accept it. But for the elect that were able to recognize the revelation of the hour, this was reality. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And then Jesus had already said, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither male nor female, that was Jesus or Paul. And so he's identifying this same thing. The wall has been taken down. Mm-hmm. Because your flesh and their flesh, they still got that idea. And even there's nominal people that have that idea. And they base it on their wealth, or they base it on their knowledge, or they base it on their size, or they base it on many different things. But none of it means anything. What matters is what is on the inside. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Remember that enmity that was back there in the beginning between the serpent and Eve, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Praise God. So all those everlasting covenants being done away, all of those things no longer being effective. Now we have a new covenant, the blood covenant, an everlasting covenant. And it was already manifesting in Christ. Already he was out there healing a man, telling him to pick up his bed and walk, and they wanted to stone him. He got hungry, he walked out in the field, he picked him some maize, and he began to eat it. They couldn't. They were so steeped in their tradition, so steeped in their ideas. What is God more concerned about? Is he more concerned about this the holiness of the Sabbath, or is he more concerned about the welfare of his children? That's exactly what was moving inside of David when he was looking, and the priest was saying, the only corn I have is this that's been hollowed for the priest, for the sacrifice. And David said, give it to me. That's the same corn that a few days before you hollowed it, before you prayed over it, before you made it kosher, before any of that, is the same corn I was going to eat. And now you prayed over it, and now it's for a specific purpose. And he respected that, but he had a need. Amen. And so is it when a believer has a need. You can be sure God is looking at the believer's need more than he's looking at a law or an ordinance or anything else. God is looking at his children. Amen. He's looking at his children. Brother Branham talked about that one time. He said, I have such a good relationship with the mayor of this city. And said, he knows that I get calls that people are dying. And he said, I'm trying to rush. And he said, he has so much confidence in me that he told me. He said, if you ever need to go beyond the speed limit to get there to somebody who's dying, he said, I have utmost confidence in you. He said, you have my permission. Brother Branham said, that puts me above the law.
That's right.
The law says you can't speed. But he could. And that's where we are in Christ. There is no laws to hold us down.
Amen.
There is no nothing. I can remember talking about these things 20-something years ago. It was way back there. And it made some people mad. Some of them got upset. Oh, you think you can do anything. You think you can go... The children of God are not bound by anything.
That's right.
They don't purposely go out and break the laws. They don't purposely do these things.
Yeah.
But they know when they have a need, God is going to supply their need.
Yeah. That's right.
When David had a need, God supplied that need. And that he might reconcile both Jew, Gentile, unto God in one body. By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. In that one body, he redeemed both. He reconciled both. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Those that were a part of Israel, those that were not. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. For through him... We both. Notice how he keeps saying both. He's bringing them both together. And he's saying that what Christ has done, what the blood has done, what this covenant has done, is not separated them like that back there. But now this has brought them together and put them both on the same playing field. They're together now. They can be. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. See? We're built upon the foundation. Remember, Brother Branham said that they were a part of the rapture. They were a part of the body. They were the foundation of the body that was building. It was building. It was coming forth. And he kept building until it come
to this hour where the intelligence, where Christ come to it, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what we're here for. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Praise God. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul continually identifies himself as a minister of the mysteries of Christ to reveal Christ in that day. He identifies that those mysteries that he was revealing were hidden from the foundation of the world. That what he was making known had never been known before. And that's exactly what our prophet recognized too. Amen. When he thought he was going to die, when that blast took forth there on the mountain, and in the dream or the vision, he kept saying, nobody could live through it. He said, that's why I think it's my going. He said, nobody could live through that blast. And so then it was revealed to him, it's your ministry. It's your ministry. And it just wasn't too much longer, a year or so after that, he said, the ministry came to perfection when it reproduced Jesus Christ again in flesh. Praise be to God. He did it for us. He did it for us.
Amen.
If those brothers of Joseph could recognize, he did it for us. He did it for us. But as Joseph told him, when he revealed himself after the father died, he said, God did this. God did this to save lives. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. I like that. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's where we are fellowshipping. That's what brings us together. That's what makes us one. It is the fellowship of the mystery of God in this day, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right.
Amen. And I'm going to stop right there. I've got some quotes, but I talked a good bit, and so we'll just come another day. But we appreciate you so much. We thank God that he's bringing this to pass,
Amen.
That he's got a people, that ministry that came to perfection in that prophet, it was the life of Jesus Christ being manifested. And that ministry is in the bride. And that ministry is changing you daily, changing, controlling, possessing. Not me knowing exactly what to do every day, how to do it,
But God said sometime, he said, while you were stumbling along, God came down and turned you the right way.
Yeah.
He pulled you this way and he pulled you that way. He's still in control.
That's right.
He didn't stop after he put his spirit in you. He didn't stop and say, okay, now you're all on your own. No, now it's his spirit. Now it's there, living, manifesting.
Yeah.
Amen. Let us stand together. And we'll bow our heads once again. Actually, I'm gonna ask Brother Goomba. I'll let him come and dismiss us in prayer. And so may the Lord bless you. We appreciate you. And I do want you to be praying and continuing to remember Sister Betty and the family there. And then for the service Sunday. And I know you do, but I want to say it anyways. To pray for every service, that God will just have his way.
Amen.
You know, God, sometimes we might study and prepare and think we got it, you know, all together. This is what I'm going to say. But God can come down and he can move all of that out. And he can say what he wants to say.
Amen.
And we know, especially as ministers, we've seen it many times, where God just takes over. And whatever you thought you had, is you have to preach it another day. So, just as Brother Branham said, we should ask every day for revelation. Let's pray every day for when we come together to worship him,
Amen.
That he'll feed us and that we'll grow. That's what we come for. We're coming to grow. And so, that's what we want from him. Brother Goomba, come this way.
I was running in my head that we didn't have Brother Michael. I didn't know where to start exactly. But I thought that I would find Mila Senior and I would talk to her, but it was too late. When I came, I just found her here and I said, okay. I looked here and said, okay. I don't know what to do now. So I did fight Brother Don over there, so I really got confused a bit. So I went here to where the trash is, and I was looking at this quote. I said, I'm just going to read this quote, and I'm just going to tell people, just let's see. And then Brother Don popped up, and I see, okay. And I waited for him to tell me, go read the songs, go read the songs. And I said, he's not telling me, so I'm saved from this. That's all right. So, you know, but I had a quote here that I wanted to read, and I don't know if you've come very well. I imagine, especially that is just for me, brother. That's just for me. I've never looked at it like, I've never seen it like that, that Joseph never complained.
Yeah.
The things that he went through, he never complained, not even. I mean, there's no record for that. There's no record for that. And brother, it really touched me when you said it, but remember Joseph, when Joseph, these words were very touching. This is the butler and the baker. And when he told them their dream, he told them, you're not going to go. You're not going to go back. You're going to die. But you're going to be saved. The Pharaoh will save you. He said, but when you do, because I'm sure that says the Lord is true, when you go, don't forget me.
Yeah.
That he had a desire to go out, but he didn't completely know why am I here? Why am I here? And that's very touching.
Yeah.
That's very touching. How many times do we really complain? A little thing here, we really find like everything is complaining and feeling like, you know, sometimes we even feel like, that's for me, brother. So sometimes you feel like God does not love you like the other brother. God does not love me very much, you know, like that. But God, you be sure that God loves you.
Amen.
And so he shows his love. He shows his love by the revelation of this word. If you see the things as you see, you are more loved than all the people that, all the Americans here that don't see this, you're loved more than them. You're loved. That's how God shows his love to you. So I'm going to the preach or anything, but let me just read two lines here. I had it in my heart and it touched me when I read it. And Brother Dawn also came like that about those people who are Jackson and things like that. Let me read this one here, brother. See, it is a notebook. I would stop. It was written in 53, paragraph 31. I'm just going to read that because the app is talking about it. But here, when I stood at the shrine there where John Wesley preaching divine healing, they turned the fox's hood. You see this? They turned the fox's hood loose and ran his congregation. You can see how, well, don't you come with that a bit here? How they were going against that brother, and the prophet said, just leave them alone. But here, he's going to say, loose and ran his congregation out. He pointed his finger in the face of the man, said, "You, the sun will not set on your head. 3 times till you call me to pray for you." He died that evening with the crumbs. When Wesley, that looks like it's not very good, but look at here. When Wesley was over here, he was riding his horse. He's saying about Wesley and how people didn't believe, that the Wesleyans don't believe what Brother Brown is saying. He said Wesley had power. Wesley was preaching this truth and was studying with God. He gives another example. That's one of the examples that God was going with the Wesley. He couldn't pray. God was with the Wesley, not with Wesley. When Wesley was over here, he was actually criticizing people not believing him, that there are miracles, that God works with people, God in you, God walking with you, and God leading you in every way. And he was saying, when Wesley was over here, he gives another example, was over here, he was riding his horse to visit a woman one day, and the horse fell and broke its leg. And he said, and Wesley got off the horse, pulled out the anointing horse, said, "Lord, you made this horse the same you did me." Poured all upon him, anointed him, with all, got on him and rode him away. I know that's I know that's really encouraging. I know that. Yeah. That's great. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. Seeing, Father, the way every time we gather together, the way we are gathered, Lord, you come around, Lord God, and take our hearts, Father, into the depths of your word, Lord. You open up yourself, Father, and meet you, Lord God. Thank you for the opening of the mysteries, Lord God. Thank you for feeding our hearts tonight, Lord. We pray, Father, that you give us faith, because only faith, only it can come from you and only from you. We cannot get it anywhere else, Father. Every strength, Lord, is not our might, it's not by nothing, Lord, it's by you. And everything that we can have, Father, we can only have from you, Lord. It's not what we can do, Father. It's thy grace, Lord. We commit ourselves to you. We pray, Father, that you hold our hearts, Lord, as we follow, Lord. And, Father, take over now our lives, Lord, and do whatsoever, Father, thou deemest fit. There are some people, Father, who are sick, like Michael's mother, Father. We continue committing to you. We continue thanking you for what you're doing, Lord. The other people, Father, like Brother Mariah, Lord God, and you still think, Father, that you're more than able to do these things, Lord, because you're God. In all things, we give glory and thanks at your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.